Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Grapplecast. It's me, your host, Taryn, and today I'm joined by Dan, by Joe, and by Jamie. Hello!
What up, Oos?
Hello, indeed.
Hello, my tribal chief.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And for the second week in a row, we're all together. We're all together again. We've got the final boss,
Jamie, with us as well. Not Nico Satamora, Jamie.
No, what if I want to be the final? Do I want to be the tribal chief or the final boss? No, tribal chief, yeah.
Well, it seems like I said, The Rock last week stole somebody else's moniker, so we can all have our own. You could be the next big thing, maybe?
Well, I'll stick to the tribal chief. Jamie can be the final boss. You two surely have to be the Usos being brothers.
Fair enough. So am I main event?
I've decided you are Doug and Danny Basham.
God, no, I don't want to be Doug and Danny.
My dear.
Why can't we? Well, I'd rather be the Highlanders.
You could be, they weren't brothers, The Rock, because I'm trying to think of brothers. You could be fake brothers. Edge and Christian were billed as brothers at one point. You could just be the brothers Hardy. You could be Matt and Jeff. One of you choose to be the alcoholic. One of you choose to be somebody you can time travel and moniker between different personas.
Oh, yes. Last week, anyway, wasn't he? He was in the audience with his fake teeth.
He was, yeah, he was. And wasn't, I think, Bailey, Tamina, and someone else I can't think of off the top of my head now. Yeah, Bailey, Tamina, and somebody else was at Dynamite a couple of weeks ago for Mercedes Monet.
Naomi? Was she feeling that
or good? Nia Jax, it could have been. I can't remember. Somebody like that.
Why would you actually want to spend your time going to a Dynamite?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting Tamina was there because she's, as far as I'm sure I read, everybody mentions her every now and again online, but I'm sure I read about a year ago that a contract had run out and they weren't renewing it. Basically,
she chose not to,
yeah. But then I see people commenting all the time going, oh, I still can't believe Tamina's under contract. We haven't seen her and stuff. And I'm commenting on stuff going, no, she's not there. And people going, you don't know what you're talking about. But I'm sure I read that. I'm sure I read it. Anyway, how are we all this week?
Fantastic.
Good, yeah, short and sweet to the point. Jamie, are you all good?
Oh yeah, I'm loving that life. It's great.
Good. Are we all busy in work? I know I am. Terrible, absolute terrible.
Well, of course, but we're all looking forward to WrestleMania. Is it 2 weeks away?
Two weeks away till Mania. But I'm looking forward to this weekend because it's a 4-day weekend over here in the UK. It's the Easter bank holiday, Good Friday, Easter Monday. Give us the 4 quality days.
So you're going to stay up for SmackDown then? Are you on Friday, on Good Friday, you're going to stay up midnight for SmackDown?
I probably will watch it on Saturday morning though, to be fair.
And then, well, if you watch that on Saturday morning, then you can turn on the network and then they upload, what's it called, Level Up and Main Event on the network for straight after SmackDown. So you can watch them. You can see Sol Ruka versus Brienne Priest.
Just watch a load of jobbers at work.
Well, if you want to do that, you could also turn on AEW. If you've got the network, you might as well. It's easier than watching AEW, so you might as well.
They had this week. Do you remember a few weeks ago they did that like trial / pilot episode of WWE Speed? Do you remember that?
I don't know how you watch it. I've seen that they recorded a bunch of it.
It's online only. It's on. I'm pretty sure it's only on X.
On Twitter.
Yes, in fact it is. Ooh. It's on X, on Twitter, on X, whatever, so you can only watch it on social media. And they taped some matches on Friday, so for anybody that doesn't know,
wasn't Pete Dunne a producer or something in one of the matches? I think something
like that. I'm not 100%
Odyssey Jones versus Cedric Alexander or something.
Well, they taped, if you want to call it taped, 4 matches, but I'm unsure as to fully which ones were on Speed. On Speed, that's gonna get old, isn't it? Which ones are on Speed? I think they all were when they came up with this idea. So anyone who doesn't know, the idea behind this new program that's exclusive to social media is that all the matches are 5 minutes or less. I assume if you hit the 5 minute mark, it's a time draw, but I don't think any of them have done that yet. I think this is only like the second or third episode that they've recorded. But again, it's all more just to get eyes on WWE rather than anything meaningful. As you rightly said, Cedric Alexander defeated Odyssey Jones in a match taped for Speed. It says Tyler Bate defeated Angel, everybody's favourite.
Angel
Garcia, I assume that is, in the second of
Angel,
two bouts.
Angel Garza. Part of the famous Garza wrestling family.
That's the one. The other two were just dark matches. So there you go. Interestingly enough, Kofi Kingston beat Dominic Mysterio. This is all before Friday Night SmackDown. And Gunther defeated Jey Uso to retain the Intercontinental Championship. So they were just two dark matches. But yeah, the Tyler Bate and the Cedric Alexander matches were both for Speed. And I've just given you the spoilers. So there you go. You don't need to watch it. I find it slightly annoying that this site that I'm reading that tells you doesn't actually tell you how long it took them to beat their opponents, since you kind of think that was quite important. Since
I would assume it's under 5 minutes.
Well, yes, but I want to know because it's WWE Speed. That's the whole point.
Well, you're going to have to watch now. Was it in 30 seconds? Was it in 4 minutes 55? You're going to have to watch out. You have to watch out and find out, aren't you?
Does anybody care, though?
I actually do. I didn't know that's how I watched it. I'm actually, when this finishes, although I'm currently watching Wales-Poland, I'll probably have to see if I can find it on the X.
Speed. That's WWE Speed. They'll probably be 3-0 down in 5 minutes, Wales. The Euro dream will be over.
We're five, actually 6 minutes in at the moment, and we're currently 0-0. So
fair
it's not too bad.
We'll give you that. We'll give you that. I hope Wales go through. I hope they do. We need somebody to beat again in the tournament.
Well, you couldn't beat Brazil the other night, so.
Friendly, don't matter. And it was like a last minute goal as well, so it was a draw of it all then.
I turned it off.
I didn't watch it.
It meant that I didn't have to watch The Wheel on ITV or BBC or whatever it's called.
BBC.
So, I mean, that's
the Wheel. Speaking of The Wheel, I went to go see
McIntyre.
I did on Friday night with the good lady wife. It was her Christmas present. We went to Mowgli's beforehand, which is an Indian chain restaurant owned by one of the judges from Great British Menu. I can't remember what she's called. It was very nice. The food was very nice, and the show was thoroughly entertaining.
I think we've got a Mowgli in Cardiff.
Yes, I think there is. I would recommend Michael McIntyre, because I'm not a big fan of him, but his stand-up show, to be fair, was quite good. I think I was probably comparing him to Peter Kay, who I was very, very disappointed with, so he was 10 times better than that. He was actually funny, so... yeah, I enjoyed
it. You were entertained, not sports entertained. You were entertained.
You're entertained. And as such, that's why I couldn't watch SmackDown last Friday, unfortunately. So I have
it anyway.
My excuses.
I did
watch it a couple of weeks ago. I did.
Every week, Taryn. We watch it every week.
Well, I don't know if I can put myself through that. You can't even put yourself through an episode of Dynamite. Speaking of Dynamite, Jamie. We had quite a poignant episode of Dynamite last Wednesday, did we not? If you want to give us a brief rundown or specifically on any major points.
Yeah, I mean, it was AEW in Toronto where it all began. It was the main event of Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage for the TNT title. Two friends forced to do battle. And
Cable guy!
There you go. But no, I mean, did you watch it, anybody?
I've got halfway through the episode. Unfortunately, with Dynamite, it's one of these ones I can't watch all the way through, like a Raw SmackDown. I watch it in 3 or 4 bits because it just bores the hell out of me. But I'm halfway through the episode, so I've still got that match to come. I'm currently on Diana Perrazzo and the Mexican, what's her name? Thunder Rosa, yeah. And she's going against Toni Storm and Toni Storm.
Do love a bit of Toni Storm too.
Yeah, man.
I haven't watched it. I do want to go back and go back. I haven't watched it, to start with. I do want to go and watch it, though. There were two title changes, weren't there, on the show, I think?
Yeah, I was about to say, obviously, we had the new Continental Crown Champion as well as the Elite. Okada won the title.
I don't get Tony Khan's fascination with having all these different titles. I'm not saying we're at the point where it's devaluing the brand yet, because I'm not a Dan, I'm not a Joe. I ain't shitting on the products all the time. I will sometimes, just like I do with WWE. But I don't, with any company, like WWE have a lot of titles, but they, you know, they have a bigger roster. It's spread over NXT as well, that type of thing. I just think with AEW, it's just you don't want to oversaturate the product too much with too many titles.
Well, I said somebody like Lee Moriarty last week, and you said, who? That goes to show he's somebody on the roster. Serpentico, when was the last time you saw him doing anything? I can name loads of wrestlers they haven't used. They've got, was it a tag team called, was it Bear Country? Another one called The Righteous. I mean, these are probably brand new names. You know,
well, they've got
their roster they don't do anything with.
Obviously, they've got Ring of Honor these days as well, which I know is technically, he's still classing it as a separate company rather than like an NXT feeder type thing. So I suppose internally it kind of is, but they're not recognising that as an on-screen product. But you do have, you know, some bigger stars on there. I know Samoa Joe was more or less Ring of Honor until he's transitioned onto AEW program and become the world champion. But I don't know. I just... There's a lot of titles on there as well.
Ooh,
Belgium are beating England. There we go. That took all the 10 minutes.
Wales are still 0-0. But yeah, you look at the six-man tag titles. They've obviously got the Ring of Honor six-man tags and they've got the AEW ones. I know because... The Gun Club, they weren't really doing much. All of a sudden, they've gone, oh, hang on a minute, we're going to make you a feud with the Acclaimed. You've had it for almost 6 months. You know, a normal wrestling promoter will go, okay, let's fuse these two titles together. It makes sense. We'll do a title versus title, and they become the same belt. But, like, wasn't this Continental Crown forged because there was two other titles that were up for grabs? So, like, oh, we'll make a third, and then it'll become one thing. But it isn't one thing. So instead of... What's his face walking around with three belts? He's walking around with two belts. So now Okada's got this thing that looks really ugly that means nothing.
Yeah, and you can only defend it on the continent.
It was a separate title. The only thing is, going into the tournament, he decided to put his other two belts up for grabs, so the winner got all three of them. That's the only reason that happened, just for Eddie Kingston to have a shining moment with all three belts.
Absolutely silly.
It was
absolutely
only
ridiculous.
It's Eddie Kingston. It's building up a star.
Almost as ridiculous as Adam Copeland becoming a two-time TNT champion, Jamie.
I mean, you say ridiculous. It was going to happen, obviously.
It was.
Christian Cage has been, obviously, like you said, it's Grapplecast Wrestler of the Year, Christian Cage, as he should be called. But, yeah, I mean, he's been one of the best things going at the minute. And the way it happened, obviously, was a bit fun. He got a few shots in the testicular region.
Ooh.
He got handcuffed into the turnbuckle and was about to get hit in the head with Spike before he finally said, I quit. It was an I quit match, obviously, as well.
A lot of these title matches, I feel, of a stipulation, a no DQ type stipulation, a lot of AEW matches. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Well, maybe I'm thinking of when John Moxley's been champion. I know that's been a while now, but whether he's been world champion, TNT champion, or a tag champion, or six-man, whatever he's been.
It's because he's the Blackpool Combat Club.
I know, but...
You've got to make sure that he has a spot where he can put sticks in his head.
You can only confide within what the rules are, and if Tony Khan is saying this match is no DQ, this match is I quit, this match is last man standing, whatever, then they've all got to say, whatever happened to the traditional one-on-one grappling show? It's lazy booking, as Jim Cornette would say. He most probably has said, I need to go and have a listen to his show from last week. He no doubt called it lazy booking, but I agree with you in that sense, though, Jamie. You know, where else would it wouldn't have really made sense for Christian to have retained again with the program that they were doing. I just hope now that Adam Copeland moves on to something else, defending the title against, as I alluded to last week, some, you know, up-and-coming talent.
As Dan likes to call it, the Cope Open.
The Cope Open. It's returning.
Bless you.
Thank you.
So as exciting as Dynamite was, did anybody catch Raw last night?
Yeah, we caught half of it. I mean, obviously, coming home from work, being in the office, managed to blitz and watch half of it. Thoroughly sports entertaining. I still got the Becky Lynch promo and the Rock ambushing Cody. But other than that, like, we watched the first bit of it, seen some brilliant matches like Ivy Nile versus Candice LeRae. I mean, what more do you want in life?
Yeah, we won't talk about that. That was over in 2 minutes. I want to talk about Becky Lynch, though, and I want to be careful what I say here because I'm not accusing anybody of anything like that. But something just felt a bit... Yeah, watch the promo is what I would say, first of all. That's the most important thing. You need to watch the promo. When I was watching it, I kept just thinking, something's off here with Becky Lynch. So the segment started with Rhea Ripley in the ring with Dom, and she was cutting a promo about the upcoming match at Mania, and then, of course, going to hand the mic over to Dom, so he gets the cheap heat, gets the booing, and, you know, he got, like, a word in or whatever before Becky Lynch's music hit. And she came out, and first of all, I just thought, well, she looked really gaunt. Now, I don't know about you, but I think she's lost even more weight lately. I don't know if she's had some Botox done as well or a bit of a lips done or something, but her face almost doesn't look like what it looked like a couple of years ago. You'll know what I mean if you go back and look now. So I don't know whether she's just had a bit of plastic surgery done. That's entirely up to her. But she looked really, really like thin in the face, like you could really see her cheekbones. And, you know, it's probably just carrying on losing the baby weight from a couple of years ago. But there was that. And then she was kind of like, I don't know, it reminded me of when Jeff Hardy was in the ring with Sting at TNA and he was just all over the place. Now, she cut her promo fine, not a, you know, and that's why I'm saying, you know, I'm sure there was nothing in regards to that. I'm not accusing anything of anything. But she was just a bit all over the place with her body because she looked very gaunt. She looked ill, if I'm being honest. She looked like she was ill. And maybe she just was a bit under the weather and that was a reason. But just watch it, because I almost felt a bit uncomfortable at one point during the promo, which was a very good point. She actually physically did burst into tears and was crying, proper crying. I can't remember exactly what it was. Rhea Ripley had said something about her daughter, and because she doesn't see her daughter all the time, being on the road type thing, that set her off, and she was properly crying. And then that was very well done. But then I was thinking after it, well, yeah. You probably, some of that is real, because obviously it's real life affecting her, but is she also being a bit like that because she's a bit under the weather? I don't know. It's difficult for me to describe when you guys haven't seen it. So I think you need to watch it, and then maybe we can have a chat about it on next week's show as well, just to see your thoughts. Just an update for anybody who's interested. It's 1-1 penalty.
Oh, who scored for the England?
I don't know. I wasn't watching properly.
Wasn't the Harry Kane, was
might
it?
Might be Tony.
Tony?
Is Ivan Tony playing? I don't know.
Ivan Tony?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't know who it was. I've got the TV on in the corner and I'm talking about wrestling. But yes, watch the Becky Lynch promo, because she was just very...
Maybe it was just good acting. You know, maybe... Like,
yeah.
In the moment, Aaron.
Like I said, the promo, she wasn't slurring a word. She wasn't missing her words, forgetting what she was saying and having to make anything up on the spot. The promo itself, the delivery side of things, she knew what she was saying and she got it all out. But her demeanour was just very off for me. And I was a bit like, yeah, is this match going ahead? And maybe, I don't know.
We were supposed to have Ivar versus, who was Ivar supposed to be facing? They pulled
Andrade.
Him out of the match. Andrade. Yeah, Ivar Andrade, but they pulled him due to sickness or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Andrade faced one of Minecraft.
What?
Minecraft, yeah. which I can't remember which one it was now.
Giovanni.
The bold one, that's it. The one who's not going out with
Tiff.
Tiffany, yeah, lucky boy. He's a lucky boy, that one.
Tiffany Stratton, this Tiffany.
Jamie is gutted. Yeah, the Raw was very much centered around Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and The Rock. And we got a nice surprise appearance from The Rock as well, because he wasn't advertised for the show. I think he had to be there because not only was it in Chicago, they used the same arena from Survivor Series, and it's a big arena. I think it's like the biggest Raw crowd for years. And they had a very minimalistic Raw stage setting as well, just to try and cram everybody in, a bit like they did at Survivor Series. Reminded me of the which WrestleMania was it, where it was just a giant screen? Was it like 35?
I think so, yeah.
That was just literally like a 10 times the size of an IMAX cinema screen, and he just kind of walked out of that. It was basically like a mini scaled down playset version of that.
Well, from AEW All In, looking at the set and the tickets they're selling, it looks very similar. That's what they're going to be doing this year as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that would make sense, because you want to, because I know they've changed the layout for All In, haven't they? Because that's where the
point. Yeah, half of it was blacked out. Oh, we sold 60,000 seats and 30,000 of them are blacked out.
Well, you've got to get all the gains you can in this world.
I would much prefer like a big... the entrance was very simple. I know it's a bit of a changed topic, but it was very simple when we were there. I would have quite liked it to be there. You know, everybody having their pictures for the arena in the background. You know, you're having that wicked stage. I think it will be a lot more appealing this year. I think they'll have learned from that. Because, well, you know, when they...
You'll have to go and watch
it. I'm in Canada. I can't go. So Jamie will tell us.
Don't worry about Canada. You can do it at any time. This is only the second annual AEW All In. It's twice in a lifetime. That's it. That's all you get until thrice in a lifetime next year, if the company's still in business.
I would rather go to Exposure Wrestling's Cody Nitro in... Yeah, and watch that in Cardiff on a Monday night. I'd rather go see that than go to another All In.
Fair enough. Going back to Raw then, there was a very interesting, speaking of promos that went okay as far as the delivery of the promo with Becky Lynch, the CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre promo was very all over the place. I don't know if you've watched that.
I loved it.
No, it was good, but you could tell they were having fun with it. You could tell they went off kilter, that they went off script.
And sitting on the announce desk, oh, I'll just be an announcer.
Oh, I know. And then I think CM Punk was like, what shall I say now? So he swore a couple of times. And
that's not PG, brother.
Basically, I think the crowd were expecting something they didn't get, because they got Punk and they were expecting him to announce he was going to be the special referee for the McIntyre Rollins match. And that's why they were chanting referee, referee, referee when he was going to announce what he was going to do. And then the announcement was basically what Drew asked him to do, was why don't you be the special guest commentator and call the match and be there to call me as the winner. When I hold up the world title in front of a crowd, he said.
I'd much rather have him as a commentator. I mean, if you think about the past couple of years, we've had Titus O'Neil as a guest commentator. Having CM Punk has got...
Call the police, he said. he's a very good commentator, though, CM Punk. We know that. He had that stint for a few months, all the way back in about 2009, I think it was, 2008, when he was injured. So we know he can do it. And yeah, again, it makes sense for the storyline progression, whether Drew wins the title or not. That's his first few back when Punk's back, you know, when Punk's back. So of course it makes sense. It does make me wonder now, Punk's involved from a guest commentary standpoint, on whether he's picking up the title. It's thrown a slight bit of doubt, but we'll get...
Well, we'll have our predictions coming up soon.
We will indeed. We've still got another week or so until we need to do our predictions, and plenty of things can happen from then. But yeah, they were having fun with the promo, all in all, everybody, but you could tell it kind of went a little bit by the wayside. There was a few awkward silence moments where they were thinking of what to say. Yeah, I don't really know if I've really got much. Have you got any more comments on that, YouTube, since you saw that part of Raw?
No, I just thought it was an overall good promo. I thought the crowd were really electric with it. One of the biggest pops as well was when R-Truth started fighting with the Judgment Day 4-on-1. That was one of the biggest pops that I heard all night. You know, when Regeneration X were facing the New Day.
Well, they were on guest commentary, weren't they? The Miz and R-Truth for the tag match. And he was very much hyping up the heartbreak at Shawn Michaels in the ring when Johnny Gargano was hitting whatever he was hitting.
I'm loving it at the moment. It's the first time really that the Miz has been actually a face. You know, we haven't seen this in 20-odd years of him being there. And it's the same on NXT. It's the first time we've seen Baron Corbin being a face, part of the War Dogs.
Is he a face now on NXT?
Wolf Dogs, even. Yeah, he's teaming up with Bron Breakker. They're the Wolf Dogs. I know they did an amazing promo of Bron Breakker on SmackDown, but I would love the Wolf Dogs to transition over to SmackDown. The crowd are really getting behind him.
But so, Bron Breakker is still showing up on NXT, I'm assuming, to finish off his storyline.
Well, he's the current NXT tag team champion.
Yeah, because he has now signed for SmackDown and had a match or two on SmackDown.
It bugs me when you're a champion in WWE, you're in the NXT Raw SmackDown, and you're coming out and you haven't got you. I get it the first time, because they're like, okay, it's part of the promo package, him coming to the ring, and you'd have to explain, oh, it's his debut and he's got a tag belt on him. That doesn't make sense. So I get that on his debut. But he's been on SmackDown 5 or 6 times now, and he doesn't have that tag belt with him. thinking if you're a champion, bring your belt. They say it to Joe all the time, where's his belt? If you're a champion, carry your title with you. I mean, you look at Logan Paul, he's at UFC, he's got his US title on his shoulder. There's no excuse.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't. You either come out with a title or you don't move the person to the roster until they drop the title.
If you're a fan and you've got a replica title, don't bring it to an arena unless you're going to defend it. It's the same rules.
Yeah. No, I agree. I assume they're going to probably drop it on there is an NXT event on WrestleMania weekend. I assume
they're doing a triple threat match to determine the number one contenders to face the Wolf Dogs. It looks like it's going to be the Good Brothers. They're going to put them, big marquee match. Putting the titles on the Good Brothers may be cool, but I wouldn't mind them actually giving it to a proper NXT team. But really, who else are they going to give it to? Nathan Frazier and Axiom. I can't really see them.
Well, the Good Brothers is in Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, they're in that.
They're doing some NXT business.
Yeah, why not? Well, they're doing anything on SmackDown.
Well, exactly.
Might as well. Yeah. They'll put Mitch in down there again and eventually as well.
Yeah. Well, okay, fair enough. I think they'll probably drop the titles then on that weekend. Ron Breaker, full time. Well, he's supposed to be full time. You know, exclusively on the main roster. And I mean, maybe Corbin can come back over as well.
As long as Tony D'Angelo wins the NXT title for the family on that evening, I don't mind.
Well, and speaking of winning, England 2-1 up in there, friendly now.
Ooh, who got that goal? Was that your Mr. Tony guy again?
Bowen.
Bowen? Does he fly jumbo jets?
No, not Boeing. No. Did you guys see that ship that crashed into the bridge in America?
It was on its way to. I don't know why I memorized it because I thought it might come up in a pub quiz. It's on the way to Sri Lanka, and it was a Singaporean boat, and it just went into one of the columns and just collapsed.
I've seen the video. All the electrics cut out a few minutes before it didn't.
I should have that on your car insurance claim. You can't do that. It fell off the bridge.
I know. Well, we send our best wishes to anybody if they're affected to our international viewers, listeners, should I say, because I know that there are still people that they are trying to find.
Yeah.
So we wish best for everyone. But yeah, gosh, that was an interesting thing to wake up to this morning. It was.
It's just how it all collapsed so quickly. All of the bridges just touched the posts and it all went down like Jenga.
I know. And it's not like it was a little bridge. This is a proper transport bridge over water. That's what I mean. The whole thing just kind of like crumpled, didn't it? Oh, anyway, back to the grappling show. With a few bits that have been announced apparently for next week's Raw. Can you believe this? The Rock will be on Raw next week.
The final boss.
You can't believe it, can you? The final boss, he will be on Raw next week.
Can we honestly have Meiko Satomura turn up and have a face-to-face win against the final boss moniker?
No, oh, the England goal's been ruled out. Far.
Oh. Poor old Boeing 747.
Also scheduled for next week's show is a big 8-man tag team match pitting the New Day duo of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods and the DIY Regeneration X duo of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa taking on the Judgment Day foursome, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, JD McDonagh. In about to decide who the biggest jobber of each team is.
I can't wait to watch that.
Who are the bigger jobbers? Or who's the bigger jobber? JD McDonagh or either member of DIY?
This has got to be JD McDonagh. I mean, at least DIY, one of them is one of them is a triple crown champion in NXT. The other one won the tag and the world championship. So, very well highly trained, but then JD McDonagh was just trained by Finn Balor and has never won a title. So, he was a former the Cruiserweight Championship he won once.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he won it and then he kept it during lockdown, didn't he?
Well, the ending to Raw this week was very interesting because partway through the show, Cody Rhodes came out to cut his promo and that's when we got the, the surprise that The Rock was there with his new remix of Current and Hollywood Rock theme, which is brilliant. And he came down to the ring and didn't say anything. He just whispered something in Cody's ear and left the ring. Didn't say a single word to the crowd. boos all around, happy days. And then at the end of the show, Cody's backstage and The Rock attacks him from behind, just goes absolute full force into him. So again, anybody that hasn't watched this, watch it, because it was very much heartening back to the Attitude Era days. That's what it felt like watching it. He beat the living piss, should I say, out of Cody, took him outside. It was pouring it down outside as well. Took him into the like the parking lot yard area where the trucks are, continuously throwing him. I almost felt like it was going on a bit too long and The Rock forgot what he was doing. It went on that long because he was kind of like saying the same thing and saying the same thing and saying the same thing and throwing him into the truck and throwing him into the truck. And then there was the cutaway and it came back onto Cody and his face was all bloody where he'd obviously done a bit of a blade job off camera. And then The Rock, because he kept saying, Mama Rhodes, Mama Rhodes, look at your boy, Mama Rhodes. And then he got the Mama Rhodes belt that says Mama Rhodes on it and he's, you know, hitting him. And at one point, he said, fuck. He said, "Fuck!" I mean, he was swearing all the way through it. He was saying, shit this, shit that, and they were blocking it out. And at one point, he turned around and said, fuck something or other. And you can watch the video on the socials where people that have recorded it off the Titantron screen in the arena, they went mental when they heard that. Just a really good way to end the show. And what is even more interesting is the Easter egg that was in the segment at the back, which... I mean, if I'd have posted it online, I'd have taken full credit because now everybody's reported it. But I think it was probably quite an obvious Easter egg where 60-70% of people will get it if they've been reading the dirt sheets. There was a production truck and they obviously did this on purpose. And now the dirt sheets are reporting that it probably was, or just everybody's picked up on it. But when it was zooming in on The Rock, when obviously Cody was off camera blading, the production truck behind The Rock quite clearly, and you could tell they put like the decals and the design on the truck, especially for this, had the WWE, and it was all lit up like there was light shining on it, had the WWE logo on it, and then on one side it had John Cena, and on the other side it had Stone Cold Steve Austin, and they've both been heavily rumoured alongside The Undertaker to appear at Mania. So we know what Triple H is like lately. He's been throwing in these Easter eggs. He's been throwing in like things happening in the background on promos. Like Drew McIntyre was talking to Paul Heyman during the DIY Awesome Truth New Day promo. As they walked away, you saw them in the background talking to each other, Heyman and McIntyre. So, you know, it gets you talking. It's a little Easter egg. That was definitely on there. So that's surely more or less confirmed Cena and Stone Cold for Mania without confirming it. They know what they're doing.
You can see it coming.
You'll never see it coming. Never forget that SummerSlam.
Well, everyone thinks that The Miz is going to get beaten up backstage at WrestleMania, and then somebody needs to tag up with R-Truth, and it'll be his childhood hero, John Cena. That's what they think is going to be happening.
But then you couldn't have Cena in that match without them winning the titles, and Cena and R-Truth aren't going to win the tag titles.
Why not? I don't see why not.
I mean, it's not happening. It's nice fantasy booking, but it's not happening. I mean, come on now, Joe, would you do it?
Nah, John Cena might just turn up, but him winning the title with R-Truth doesn't need it. It's WrestleMania 40, and it's like everyone and their dog's going to turn up because it's like the biggest WrestleMania ever. So like, John Cena just might just turn up just to say hello.
Well, I think I said it last week or the week before. It makes no sense really, but from a really really stupid over the top booking, for some reason, even though it makes no sense, John Cena and definitely Stone Cold get involved with the main event because The Rock's there type thing. The Undertaker is, I assume, well. Do we want to see The Undertaker in American Badass gimmick, or do we want to see him in full Deadman gimmick since it's Mania 40? But either way, he's coming out on night one or night two to cut some form of promo and at least chokeslam somebody. So I almost think that for Mania, you need the Deadman gimmick for the spectacle, the fire, wait till it's gone dark, the gongs, because...
That's a long way to walk, though, isn't it? Like, if you've got a bike, it's a lot easier.
It is, but the last couple of times we've seen him on that bike, I think, Christ, you can't get that around the ring properly.
Why doesn't he come out with the wolf dogs? He could ride around WrestleMania with the wolf dogs. They got bikes as well. They could have little Sons of Anarchy little rides around the ring. It'd be good.
Well, write in and tell him.
Write it. I'll tweet them. I'll put it on the X.
But yeah, we'll see. We've seen the American Badass a couple of times now in the last couple of years since he kind of brought that gimmick back. He brought it back when he did that, like passing the torch over, signing things to Bray Wyatt at Raw 30. He was on NXT, wasn't he, a few months back. So, you know, he's made a couple of appearances. So, you know, maybe the dead man gimmick just for Mania, just because of the old spectacle of it. But I would be surprised now if the three of them, especially John Cena and Stone Cold, weren't there. England are losing now 2-1.
Oh,
can we have a check for all our listeners who will be listening after it's happened, Dan and Joe, on the Wales game? Are we still 0-0?
It is still 0-0. It's getting very on tender hooks. It's 35 minutes in. We're still 0-0. Everyone in their bucket hats looks really, really tense in the crowd.
Well, I'm not surprised. Wouldn't you be? It's over. Yeah. The dream's over before it began. It really is. I'm going to do a Cody Rhodes now. What do we want to talk about? Is there anything specifically anyone would like to have a chat about? It's an open forum for this last section of the podcast because we're quite light on the ground. Because apart from Raw, nothing's really happened this week. We mentioned it last week, the Bray Wyatt documentary. Is it Monday? Yeah. Is that April the 1st, Monday?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's when it's coming up. That'd be a really interesting watch.
That's available on Peacock. And
did you see advertised on Raw? There was a new thing going on. I think it was Hulu or something called WWE Gen.
Gem.
Oh, Golf Echo November. It looks very similar, like Tough Enough, but they're not calling it Tough Enough. But there's 12 people, and they've got like loads of people guesting, like Bianca Belair and Triple H, going, "You guys want this? You want to be a WWE superstar?"
Well, it's called Next Gen. Next Gen.
Yeah, we noticed that being advertised during Raw. And you know me, I love Tough Enough.
A Roku original. That's Roku definitely original, yeah.
The series is set to chronicle the journey of up-and-coming talents in the Next In Line program, I say. So it sounds more to me like Breaking Ground.
Oh, yeah, the Next In Line ones.
Next In Line program is like former NFL stars, basketball stars. And they're basically like scouted all of them to be like WWE superstars the last spot it's for.
I'll watch that. It'd be interesting because it sounds then like it's a bit of a Breaking Ground program, but without your NXT Performance Center type wrestlers, because they're, like you say, they're transitioning from one aspect, one sport, into the Performance Center side of things. So
I think that's coming. Was it 1st of April? I think.
Yeah, that's Monday. Center. That's Monday as well. So I think it must be both.
That'd be a decent one.
Landed on both. Obviously, the Bray Wyatt documentary is on Peacock for the American viewers and online somewhere you shouldn't be watching for everybody else. And then, Next Gen is Roku. And then online where you shouldn't be watching for everyone else. But if they're not going to give us these things, we have to find alternative means to watch. That's all I can say.
Well, we've only got, on the WWE Network, they've got This Is Awesome. WrestleMania Part 2. That's the only thing really that they've posted quite recently, with Greg Miller saying about his favourite moments of WrestleMania. That, you always keep an eye on WWE Network, but they never post anything new. I think that's good. They're trying to fizzle it out, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think there's going to be much of anything now. Well, the problem is they've got these like exclusive deals with like Peacock and stuff now, haven't they? So everything is going over there in America. Anything new that will come over to the network, if we could call it that, it'll be just when it's all on Netflix, because I assume they've signed some exclusive rights deals, not just for the pay-per-views or the premium live events or in the weekly television shows. They're bound to throw some specials in there and that type of
thing. Well, we're going to be getting Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson on Netflix as well. I mean, what do you want?
I can't wait. I can't wait for Mike Tyson to win.
Yeah, it's going to be a train crash.
Oh, it will. And I can't wait. Jamie, do you have a quiz for us this week?
A quiz?
Oh.
Yes. I mean, I was thinking of what to do, and I think I'm going to kind of go off what Dan's friend was saying in terms of we don't really have a lot of Japanese content.
You are taking the piss, right?
So I thought, well, if you think about Japanese wrestling, what's the first thing that comes to your head with Japanese wrestling.
Big Show versus Aki Bono at WrestleMania 21.
The international Japanese wrestlers in the 90s WCW.
Well, no, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is Dave Meltzer. So it's all about Dave Meltzer and five-star matches.
Oh, Jesus.
Because Dave Meltzer loves that Japanese wrestling.
If Will Ospreay just took a shit in the middle of the floor, then Dave Meltzer
would I would give it 17 stars.
Yeah, but he's got his cat to feed, Joe.
Yeah.
He's got two pugs.
Or cats and a pug, yeah.
Okay.
Taryn doesn't have a clue what we're on about.
Let's do this quiz. Come on, then.
Okay. So, this is a five-star Meltzer-rated review. For those that don't know what Dave Meltzer's five-star rating is, he basically rates every single match in his Wrestling Observer newsletter. There has been a total amount of things that it has been ranked. It's every wrestling promotion out there that's part of it. And then suddenly he decided, well, five stars is enough, so some matches have got more than five stars. So question one is, what is the highest rated match by Meltzer, which has seven stars?
Is that question one?
What match by Meltzer has got seven stars?
It's going to be the only one I get right out of the whole
Alicia course. Fox versus Melina.
Mm-hmm. I was looking, I don't think there's any women's match that's on this, by the way, because I was, well, that would be a nice question, what only women's, but I was scanning through it and I couldn't find one, but I'll tell you what does happen.
Not like the year or anything like that, do you just want the match?
No, just the match.
I don't know the year.
You'll get a point for each person, probably.
Oh, so okay.
Nice. But I'll tell you who did. Women don't have it, but ECW actually have a five-star match in their history.
Oh.
What match was that? ECW have a five-star match.
Is that question two?
Question two, yeah.
Oh, Christ, okay.
Again, you'll get a point for each wrestler, don't you worry.
Let's go.
But what match is the only ECW match to have a five-star rating?
Well, there we go then.
Tommy Dreamer versus the Sandman.
Oof. Question three. This is the easiest one, and if you don't get it, Taryn, my dear lord.
Go for it.
Which wrestler has the most five-star matches?
I'm sure, have we not had this question before?
Maybe, but maybe it's increased or someone's taken over.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Question four. What is the highest rated match in WWE history? There's only been one match that has gone over five stars, and it was 5.5.
Christ, okay.
So what is the highest rated match in WWE history with 5.5? When I say WWE, I mean all of WWE as a whole. So that includes WWE.
Don't give him clues.
NXT, NXT UK.
WWE, ECW?
Yeah, I was about to say ECW, WWE.
What about the bump main event?
I don't know.
Stars, Velocity.
Heat.
All of them.
Okay. In your house.
Tuesday night in Texas.
Oh.
There's only been two Hell in a Cell matches which have got five stars. What are they? So think there's been two Hell in a Cell matches that have had five star Meltzer's rating. What are those two matches?
Five star Hell in a
Cell. And you know what? I'll give 6 points up for grabs for the wrestlers and the event.
Oh, but no chance. Cool.
Question six. If we talk about weekly shows, obviously Dynamite has the most five-star Meltzer matches. But what other show, which show has the most five-star ratings besides Dynamite? Is it Raw, SmackDown, or Impact?
Okay.
Fantastic.
Which show has more five-star matches, Raw, SmackDown, or Impact? Okay. As I mentioned, Dynamite has got the most out of all of them, and AEW has done pretty well since it started in terms of its five-star matches. But what was the first AEW match to get a five-star rating?
Some crap, no doubt, right? Okay, we'll go with that. I've put something which it should never be in a million years, so it probably is.
Here is another 6-pointer just for Taryn.
What?
What was the last WWF match to get a 5-star rating and the first WWE match to get a 5-star rating? So what was the last known as WWF and what was the first known as WWE? You get a point for the wrestlers and a point for the event. Stop Googling!
Really? No, I don't know. So the last match whilst it was called WWF that was five stars, and the first match since it became WWE that was five stars.
Yes.
Okay.
Dan's celebrating because he's got all 6 points, or maybe Webster scored.
We did, but Keith Moore's just been ruled offside, so it's okay.
Well, surely one of them is one of the matches that I've put for another question.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know what the first match under WWE was.
Well, have no fear, Joe, because this one is a 50-50 chance. Who has more 5-star matches? Is it CM Punk or Senior Joe, Samoa Joe? Who has more? I'll tell you how close it is. One has three. One has two.
Say that again.
Who's got more 5-star matches, Samoa Joe or CM Punk?
Okay.
Fantastico.
Yeah.
And here's the big one, everyone. This is it.
Oi, oi.
There's a total. 12 points up for grabs.
Oh.
There have been 4 matches at WrestleMania to get a 5-star rating. Name the matches.
4 matches.
There's been 4 matches.
How was it 6 points then?
I never said 6 points. I said 12 points.
Oh, 12. But how's it 12 points if there's only 4 answers?
For each wrestler.
Oh, good lord. Oh, well, all right, then, there's 3.
They're all separate wrestlers, so it's fine. None of them are duplicated. So 12 points. Okay. Oh, just name wrestlers. You might get a point.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
And I hope Dan's friend enjoys this Japanese Meltzer quiz. There was another one that I wanted to do. And it was finding difficult to actually find the answer. Then I managed to find the answer, but it was 9-9. And it was, which American wrestler has the most 5-star matches? I was hoping to catch Taryn out because he'll go, oh, Kenny Omega, obviously, but he's Canadian.
to be fair, I probably would have said Omega without thinking.
But 9-9, anyone want to take a guess? The two American wrestlers on 9 each.
Daniel
yeah.
Bryan?
Yeah, Bryan Danielson. Never had one as Daniel Bryan. They've all been Bryan Danielson.
AJ Styles?
No. It's an old one. It's Ric Flair.
Okay,
fair.
They both have 9 each. Oh, we're going to go through some answers.
I can only think of, like, 2 matches here, and I'm not even sure. I think one of them's definitely right, I'm sure, and I don't know if the other one is. I was just thinking, but...
Okay.
Anyway, well, I've got 2 matches. I've got 2.
You just said name wrestlers. 12 wrestlers, didn't you?
So I said just name wrestlers. Just name wrestlers.
That's what I've done. I've written 12 wrestlers then, so...
That's not how many wrestlers have got 5 stars. So yeah, no. Well, the question was silly. Should have been what name the match.
I'll take the 12 points. If you only want to write down 4 people, you go for it. I've written down 12 people, so I'll take the points.
Well, I'm doing what the question asked me was name the 5-star matches.
Okay, yeah, here we
okay,
go.
Go for it.
Highest rated match by Meltzer with 7 stars, Taryn.
Omega and Okada.
Dan.
Yeah, I got the same, Omega Okada.
Joe.
Omega Okada.
Correct, it's Okada right. versus Omega. Okay.
Is that 1 point or two?
That's 2 points. Two one for Okada, one for Lord. Omega. You might have got Omega and someone else, who knows?
True. But then okay. That's not the answer to the question, is it? Because that would be a different match.
2 points. This is a point fest, all right?
Good.
Number two. What match is the only ECW match to have a 5-star rating, Dan?
RVD versus Cena.
Oh.
Joe.
I put Shane Douglas versus Jerry Lynn.
Taryn.
That's a good shout as well, because that's too rare. I went for like two people who were decent wrestlers as well, trying to get it. So I put Raven versus Taz.
It's Hoover de Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
of course it is.
The high flying. Of course. Okay. Joe, who's got the most 5-star matches?
Kenny Omega.
Taryn.
Will Ospreay.
Dan.
Kenny Omega.
It's Will Ospreay with 37.
I know that because we had it not long ago. 37. That's how I remember.
37.
He's got Kenny Omega.
Where is Kenny Omega in terms of
in Kenneth the bin? Yeah, flapping about.
Third.
Somewhere.
Wait, sorry, he is third. Yeah, he is third. Will Ospreay has 37. Okada has 27. Omega has 25.
Oh,
Kenta. I forgot. Got he was even a wrestler.
Go to sleep.
He's been nothing since he was in NXT as Hideo Itami.
Trash, take out the trash.
Hideo Itami. Jesus. Okay, the next one. What is the highest rated match in WWE history with a 5.5, Taryn?
At Punk versus Cena at Money in the Bank.
Dan.
Gunther versus Dragunov.
Yo.
Gunther versus Ilya Dragunov.
No,
oh, it'll be Cole versus Gargano.
It was Cole versus Gargano.
Yeah.
NXT Takeover New York.
I'll have half a point. I got it.
Hey, if you went for Adam Cole or Gargano, you could have got a point.
I know, yeah.
Only two matches in wrestling in WWE, obviously, have been given 5 stars. What are they?
Only two Hell in a Cell matches was this one.
Only two Hell in a Cell matches, yeah.
Triple H versus Taker and Mankind versus Taker. Events I put Mania and King of the Ring.
Joe.
I got Mankind versus Undertaker Bad Blood. I got and then Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels No Way Out.
Okay, and Taryn?
I think Dan and Joe were mixing up their events there. I put Taker versus HBK, but that took part in your house. I'm sure that wasn't at Mania.
Well, there was two.
And
he said Triple H versus Undertaker.
Oh, right.
Shawn Michaels as a guest referee.
Sure, it was Shawn Michaels and HBK. I think that was Bad Blood in your house.
Yeah, they're the same person as well. Shawn Michaels and HBK.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Undertaker versus HBK. It's been a long day. It's been a long week, and it's only Tuesday. And then one of the women's ones, like I think Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks faced each other at Hell in a Cell event, so I remember that as well, because that was highly rated.
Well, I will say, Taryn and Joe, you get 3 points each.
Ooh.
Because it was Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at Bad Blood. Because, Joe, I know you mixed it up, but you did say Bad Blood. So you do get the point for Bad Blood. You put it for the wrong match. But it was Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at Bad Blood. And then Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, how could we forget
with
that
bloody peck.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, Dynamite has the most, but what show has had more 5 stars? Raw, SmackDown, or Impact?
SmackDown.
Taryn.
Raw.
Dan.
Impact.
Correct, it's Impact. Yeah, Raw and SmackDown never had a 5-star match.
I was thinking he said that, yeah. I knew it.
And do you know who it was? It was Will Ospreay. Okay. We are to Joe.
Oh.
What was the first AEW match to get 5 stars?
I put Young Bucks versus FTR.
Aaron.
That's a good shout. Omega versus John Moxley.
Dan?
Omega Jericho.
It was at AEW Double or Nothing. And it was the event. I'm pretty sure that it was John Moxley's debut. But it was Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes.
Was that five stars? It was a decent match, but was that five stars? There's a lot of good storytelling in it.
Okay. Fair enough. Taryn.
Yes.
What was the last WWF match to get five stars and the first WWE match to get five stars? Total of 6 points up for grabs.
Both of my answers I've already given because they were the only ones I could think of. So I went with Taker versus HBK and John Cena versus CM Punk and Money in the Bank.
And what was Shawn and Taker at?
Bad Blood.
Okay.
Or in your house, Bad Blood.
I went for Rock the Austin at Mania, and I went for Angle versus Ray at SummerSlam.
Joe.
What a match that is. What a match. Angle versus Rey Mysterio. Sorry, that's so good.
I got Rock versus Austin WrestleMania 19, and then Brock versus Kurt WrestleMania 21.
Okay. Mm. Well, the last WWF match to get five stars was Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at Bad Blood in Your House.
Yes, that's just 2 points, isn't it? Because we're not going for the event on that one, yeah. So.
And the first match in WWE history was CM Punk versus John Cena.
Oh,
God. In 2011.
Okay, well, that
13 makes years.
I'll take that.
Okay, who has more five-star matches, Dan?
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I went with Samoa Joe.
Joe?
I bet CM Punk, just to be different.
CM Punk had two. To be different, you didn't know the answers. CM Punk had two, Samoa Joe had three.
Okay, fair enough.
One of them was against each other as well, obviously. Okay, this is it. The big one. The 12-pointer to change the
just
world.
Name wrestlers.
Name the four matches that I've had a five-star rating at WrestleMania. So you've gone for matches, Taryn. So
well, yeah, because that was the question.
Go on.
I only put two matches, though. I don't know. I think the triple threat from last year, the Intercontinental title, Gunther, Sheamus and Drew is probably there. And Bret Hart and Stone Cold from WrestleMania 13. But they're the other ones.
Okay. Dan.
I name wrestlers because you said wait, one wrestlers then.
Joe, what did you do?
Here we go.
Macho Man, Savage, Flair, Shawn Michaels, Rock Hogan, Rock Austin, Triple H, Jericho, Gunther, Drew and Sheamus.
That's okay. Pretty solid,
that. Dan.
Rock, Austin, Triple H, Taker, Bret, Owen, Cena, Orton, Michaels, Bryan, Batista, Edge.
Okay. So, the matches were in reverse order. Gunther, Drew and Sheamus, the triple threat match from last year.
That's 3 points then, is it?
That is 3 points. You're also forgetting another match from last year that got five stars.
I bet it was that fucking tag team match.
Kevin
it?
Owens and the Usos. You have WrestleMania 13 of Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I've got me 5 points from those.
And Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels.
Oh, ladder match.
So you get a point for any of those. So Ramon, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, Gunther or Walter, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, the beat himself. What have we got points wise?
16.
Dan.
8.
Ooh.
Double what I've got.
Have you counted like each wrestler as well properly?
Yeah.
Joe?
I got 8 as well.
Oh, we do love a good Google, Taryn.
I'll take it. I honestly, would you like to see me into the history? I can send it to you now. In fact, some rude things.
Let's see you into history. Go on then.
I know a quality tie break, though, in case, well, since Dan and Joe technically tie breaks, what was your tie break?
Well, obviously, the tie break would be how many matches have been awarded 5 or more stars?
That was the tie break. 102.
87.
Yeah.
65.
The first one was in 1982. Let's put it that way. 152.
Yeah, Dan and Joe, my tiebreak would have been this. How many Meltzer five-star matches was Kurt Angle involved in?
Two.
Zero.
Zero is the correct answer. He never got a five-star.
That's a travesty.
Which is a travesty. Absolutely.
It's not a travesty. It's terrible.
Lovely. Well,
the Shawn Michaels, like, he's only been in two, and the WrestleMania match with The Undertaker wasn't one of them. Either of them. And people argue that's one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yeah.
And he's given five stars. The Bad Blood match was, because it's got to be Kane.
That's got to be. It was only five star because of Kane, let's be honest.
Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, but no, not at WrestleMania. What a time to be alive.
Macho Man and... what's his name?
Macho hasn't got one.
Steamboat and Macho Man, but I suppose that kind of gets ridiculed a bit, doesn't it? Because that was basically maliciously planned down to every single punch. That was very over-rehearsed, apparently, but not that that matters. Wrestling is rehearsed, so I don't care, but I think that's one of the reasons why. Is it? What? Just to make everybody aware, I'm on 3 points now, so that's me on three, Jamie on two, Dan on two, Joe yet to get off the mark. I think it's me next week, so Joe, get ready to play.
Brush out your beanos.
Yeah,
I'm just realized Ric Flair had more, because I'm looking at this match here, Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat. They faced each other four times in the space of 3 months, and there were five
that
stars.
That was all NWA, WCW, surely.
WCW in 1980. Yeah. So Ric Flair was the most American winner. There you go.
That makes sense. Right, Dan, where can everybody find us on the socials?
Yeah, we're on your Facebook, your... What's Twitter called now?
X.
That's the one. Yeah, I still call it Twitter.
WWE Speed.
Instagram. And, of course, Threads. We are Grapplecast Show. We're also available wherever you get your podcast. Again, Grapplecast Show. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Lovely stuff. Enjoy the rest of your wrestling weeks, everybody. Enjoy SmackDown this Easter weekend. And, yes, all being well, we will be back next week with our... penultimate episode before WrestleMania. Jamie, if you'd like to sign us off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess without further ado, I bid you a goodbye, a good night, and watch for the show.
Ta-ra, guys.
Ring the bell! Ring the bell!